Welcome to the Danny Carlson Podcast, your resource for growing the business and mindset for a life of unrestricted freedom. Now here's your host, online marketing acrobat, Danny Carlson.
What's up, guys? This is the Danny Carlson Podcast, and we are here in full production mode. We have this full studio and an entire team with a bunch of cameras and all these fancy lights, ClickFunnels plaque, Forbes article, and this is going to be a really interesting interview because this major achievement that's on the TV right here, if you're watching, is a Forbes cover article with Hannah Leigh and her mom. And this just happened like 5 days ago. So I think that's a good place to start the interview is what's the story behind this Forbes article? Because that's huge.
Yeah, so my mom has done so many awesome things. She works online, and me and my family have kind of been traveling all of our life since I was born, and I can touch more into that story. But recently, she got into a Forbes article because she does marketing, all these cool stuff, and help people create their brands and make them so beautiful and kind of just help people with their messaging and what they love. And this is a story on kind of what she has done and what she's become. And so it's really cool that she did this Forbes article. And of course, she talked about me and like our lifestyle and stuff. So it's really cool. And I'm and I'm like so beyond happy. And I am so proud of her. And it's awesome. And so kind of like our life story and what we have done has been put into this article for like how I was born and how I've been raised and kind of the mindset and how I became. So yeah.
And what does that feel like to have a Forbes cover article? Because that's something that people work so hard for so long. Like, has it really clicked in your head that you like that's such a big achievement?
Yeah, so my mom, we stayed up until 11 o'clock at night and just waiting for it to be released. And since it was all of her work that she's put into it, it was really something excited that we were able to like come together and just like do a little celebration at 11. We're like, oh, it's like Happy New Year's. We were like celebrating and all this stuff. So yeah, I'm really proud of my mom, and she's done so many great things. And that article is a really big thing for her. She's been wanting to get in Forbes for a long time, and especially talking about me and like talking about the family, it means a lot. So she's very happy, and I'm very happy for her. So.
Yeah, well, congratulations. And just to set the tone for people too, I want you to talk a little bit about another just big event that just shows the scale of what you guys are doing. Like, you turned down a $30 million investment opportunity from one of the sharks from Shark Tank, right? Tell us a little bit about, you know, why you turned down such a large amount of money that most people would have jumped to that opportunity. What was it?
So, about when I was like 12 years old, which is funny to say because that was like a year ago or two. So when I was around 12 years old, I got offered $30 million to be invested into my business. If you guys don't know, I have created a fashion brand where I create eco-friendly fashion that uses sustainable materials.
I'm wearing one of the shirts right now. It's very comfortable.
That uses sustainable materials like bamboo. And my goal is to make the world a better place and taking one things at a time that are hurting our planet and changing them into a more sustainable thing is what I want to do. So I created a fashion company. I still have it, and we've been working on it, and we have a little small shop in Bali here. And a few years ago, I got pitched $30 million from an investor to be able to be invested into my company. And he was telling me, like, we can get you on Vogue magazine, we can get you on these big articles, we can do all these things, like, you'll be known everywhere, but I will own 70% of your company, and that will be all the profit. And he's like, look at, and like the whole entire time, he's like, look at this, if you make $100 million, like, I'll get $70 million, and you'll get the rest of it. And I'm like, but why don't I get the $100 million if this is what I've made? And so it's something where I felt like it didn't come to my values, and it compromised what I was believing in, which was slow fashion, making everything sustainably, not using, making a mass market and all this stuff. So I decided to turn down the offer to do what I love and continuously just make myself happy in what I do. And it's not about selling as much products. It's about getting that message out and making people happy and making sure that I'm happy while I'm creating something. So,
yeah. And I mean, like, you have good money from what you guys are doing. Like, look at this place that we're living in here. Yeah. And in Bali, especially, a little bit of money goes a very long way. So do you think that Like, what was it that instilled in you the need to do something that you're passionate about instead of just chasing a lot of money? Because most people, myself included in the past, have just been really, really focused on the chasing money. Mm-hmm. And it can be a really alluring thing. So how at such a young age did you just go over here when everyone else is really focused on going over here?
Yeah, so when I was 7 years old, I got asked, what do I want to be now? Instead of, what do I want to be when I grow up? And that single thing changed my mindset and what I could truly be. Since a lot of kids my age get asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be in the future? What do you want to do when you're older? Because as a kid, you cannot accomplish anything except for go to school and just work on this. You'll like go to college, you'll get married, you get a job, and then you'll be able to do what you love. You can't choose it in the now. And so I feel like we need to change our mindset, knowing that we can be happy by what we do now, and we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for that future. So when I got asked, what do I want to be now, that changed my mindset. That changed what I could truly want to do and be. And so, of course, I asked for $20 from my mom and dad, and I bought threads, needles, fabric, and I started selling these little tiny keychains of these little food items. And I sold them to all my mom's clients at her events, and I made enough money to make my first prototype. Since I was interested in fashion, I made my first prototype of clothing, and I sold it. Then I was able to invest it back into my company, and since I've lived in an entrepreneurial family, I've been able to learn the value of money, learn investing, and I've had people who are able to support me in what I do. And so now I have a fashion company where we're making face masks right now and helping people in this time in need. And I really want to create something where I can do what I love now, either if that means fashion, if that means artwork. I've been really going into my artwork and my creative side again and kind of learning more. And if I'm not happy, I will not do it. So making sure that I'm happy in that moment is the most important thing to me. So.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, they hear a story like yours and they just assume that, you know, you came up with this idea and everyone loved it and it just took off and it was a massive success.
Yeah.
Was that the case for you, or were there just like some big roadblocks where it maybe took way longer than a lot of people think to gain that traction, or there was just some big hurdles that you had to overcome?
Yeah, of course there's been roadblocks in this journey, almost, either being through not making sales at times, like speaking at events and not being able to sell my clothing or stuff like that. But I think I've always stick to what I've loved. And it's never really mattered about the money. If I don't make money, I don't think that's a huge down for me. I don't think that's something that's not really important. Like, if I make money, that's incredible, because I want to make sure I'm able to share a message. My message with creating eco-friendly fashion, with inspiring people that they can change the world now, means way more to me than selling a shirt. The t-shirt is something that they will see and that they're able to hold on and show that they can wear something sustainable, that they can share that same message. So sharing that message means most to me, and if I'm able to get that across, that's the most important thing to me. But of course, there's been at times where starting up a company is hard. I'm so fortunate because I have parents who are entrepreneurs, and we've been able to meet so many incredible people to help us create something. And it's all about kind of the three steps that I used when I was starting my business, was making sure I believe in myself, making sure I believe in what I do. Because a lot of times when you're starting a business, you don't have hope and you don't have belief, even though you say you do. And that's how it plummeted. That's how business plummets, because you don't have that true belief. You may say you know what you do. You may say that you are very excited and that you want to do it, but if you don't believe in yourself, you'll fail.
Yeah, self-sabotage,
yeah,
right?
Self-sabotage. And so believing in yourself and then sharing your voice, like using social media to talk about what you love, like doing lives, doing videos, so then people are able to hear what you have. And my main company is giving a message, sharing a voice, and inspiring people means so much more. So being able to do videos has kind of shown people what I do and what I create. And so then finally creating a dream team, creating a group of people that are willing to support you, that can help you, and that you are able to help them. And I've created my dream team who make all my clothing. My mom and dad are in my dream team. They have supported me for so long. And so that's kind of how I look at everything. So, yeah.
And what's it like to have entrepreneurial parents that are in your corner being your mentors? Like, that's something that I really wish I had when I was younger, is I didn't really even open my eyes to the opportunity of entrepreneurship until I was probably about 24. And before that, I just had all these misconceptions about what business was. It was, you know, it was super expensive to start a business. It was, you had to be cutthroat and ruthless to start a business, just, and like, yeah, you had to have no life, and all of these things that just aren't true in today's online world. Mm-hmm. So what was it like growing up literally from day one with entrepreneurial parents that were instilling entrepreneurial values in you?
Well, really, to me, it's just a normal life, because I've never experienced life in another way. But I feel very fortunate to have people who are very supportive. And one kind of how we started all of this is my mom and dad invested in real estate and lost everything. And they just bought this multi-million-dollar house. They have all these cars. We have like all these expensive things because they wanted to build a life for me so that I would have the best life. But they start realizing after they lost everything, they're like, what do we do? My mom quit her job and started working online. My dad was in engineering, and they both quit their job to do all these things. And now that everything plummets, that just hit so badly that they're like, what can we do? We have to give away everything, and we can't just go back to our jobs because that's not what we love. So they decide to start traveling the world. And they're like, we want to raise someone, a kid like me, to learn from the world, to learn values, and learn how to care for the world. And that's kind of, that has shaped me and what I've done, and why I want to help the world so much, is because I've seen people around this world who needs help, who needs to be able to be helped by people and have more of an open heart from other people who are maybe more fortunate. So really, I think it was definitely fortunate for me, because it has opened my mind to so many unique things where now I'm able to share it. Like, I have a book now where I talk about my entrepreneurial values, like having kids start their own business now. It doesn't even mean starting a business. It just means instilling that thought in your mind that you can do what you love, and that you don't have to work for a job that you won't be happy in. And you don't have to confine to society's norms, that you can truly do what you love now.
So. Yeah, see, that's so interesting, because I have a lot of students who I help them start freelancing or start their own online business, just doing their own services. But the main barrier for almost all of them, these are all adults and people who have, you know, are in their 20s or their 30s or even 40s. And the main barrier is just shifting that mental pattern in their brain that, like, this is a viable option for me. Like, I can actually do this. I can actually make this happen. Whereas kids are in maybe a little bit of the naivety, like if you grow up in a certain way and that's just how things are, you're not going to develop all of these big complexes and barriers in your brain. Do you think that if kids were raised differently, then it's possible that there would be more kids like you who just literally just go after exactly what they want and don't develop all these mental complexes?
Yeah, because at kids around the age of 8 to 10 years old, or 7 to 10, that's kind of the age where we're making our personality. We're learning from people, we're learning kind of life, and we're growing our personality in what we do. And so when we start to see people who, like parents, that are sad at their jobs, that are arguing every night, that have people in their schools that are gossiping, doing all these things, we start to think that's normal. And so we start building our personality off of that, knowing that it's okay to be mad. Like, you're not supposed to do what you love. You're supposed to be sad, and that's how life goes. If we are raised in a way where we are shown kindness, we are shown to make decisions, and like my mom, when she was growing up, her dad like told her, like, your kids are supposed to be seen, not heard. But instead giving kids that voice, so then they're able to do what they love and make their own decisions. One thing that my mom and dad really wanted to make sure with me is that I was able to make my own decisions and do what I love. I was able to choose instead of saying like, oh, I don't want pizza, I don't want this, instead saying, I want this, I would like this. And so I'm able to make my own decisions and choose what I want. So,
yeah, instead of trying to like avoid everything you don't want, just choosing what you do want is such a more powerful mindset to have. Yeah.
And so like if kids were able to be raised in a mindset where more things are open to the possibility, less shame, and like I feel like with adults, like you were saying earlier, with people who were like kind of choosing like entrepreneurship, the one thing that they were stuck in was the mindset. It's like the people that you're around are what shift your personality. If you're around mean people who will yell or like stuff like this, or who have a very bad energy in a way, you'll start feeling that same way, because we're animals. We take on the same personalities of the people that are around us. So if we surround ourselves with people who are kind, people who are thought leaders, who are inspiring, who are doing something different, then we'll start to become that, because we look up to those people. And we shift our mind and we shift who we are based on the people that we're around.
So. Yeah, so you're an elementary school dropout.
And you dropped out of sixth grade? Fourth grade.
Fifth grade, actually.
Fifth grade, man, I'm slacking.
Wow, that's so cool.
We're all slacking, man.
I'm the only one, I think, that I know that can use the elementary school dropout. That's, like, on my Facebook, it's like, what have you done in life? I've dropped out of school, I've created a business, and I live in Bali.
Which is not very common.
Yeah.
Do you think that the public school system is broken?
Well, I have been traveling all my life, and I've always chose to be in school, and that's just something I wanted to do because I've always wanted a social life and being able to be with friends. But when I started creating my business, this school system wasn't working good for me, and it wasn't letting me thrive. I would wake up super early and I would go to home very late, and I wasn't able to work on any passion projects I had because it was all something that you're supposed to think this, you're supposed to do this, and then there's no creativity. Like, there was only one art class for like 30 minutes a week, and me being a super big artist and just loving to create, that wasn't fulfilling what I wanted to be doing. And I've been creating videos since I was literally a baby, and with creating content with my mom and dad and just documenting our life. Like, I got really bullied. I was really hurt in school, where these kids would pull up the videos of when I was like a little, when I was like 5 years old, like doing these videos by myself, and they would connect it to the school projector and play it so all the kids in the school could watch and all the class could watch, and they would laugh at me. And I really stopped doing what I love at that point, because I thought that I wasn't good enough and that I was doing something bad, so I stopped doing it. And for a while, I would bottle up my feelings and what I did, and I hurt dramatically from that, because that affected who I was as a person and all the things that I loved and all the things that I thought were incredible, like my artwork, like doing videos, creating fashion. I thought that was bad now because these kids were laughing at me. And so I stopped doing it. I stopped creating art. I started saying horrible things about myself because that's what the kids were saying to me. And so I dropped out of school because the school system and what I was learning was bad just for how my brain processed. And I always felt like I was lower than the other kids, or not as intelligent as the other kids, because of how the school system was set up, that the way I learned wasn't the way other kids learned, and so I learned slower. And then having kids laugh at me and having them say mean comments about me really hurt me. So it wasn't a safe environment for me to be, because I didn't want to be there anymore, and I didn't feel like I wanted to do anything that I loved anymore. So I dropped out of school to make sure that so I could do what I love, and so I could grow better as a person. And so I definitely think that for people like me who are creative, kids who do love creating new things and who learn differently, the school system definitely affects them, and I feel like it needs to be fixed. But that's why I dropped out to school myself. So
yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Like, I had a really hard time in school. I'm similar to you in the fact that I have a very creative brain, mm-hmm. where I'm much more suited to entrepreneurship or working for myself and in my own creative projects.
Yeah.
But I struggled during middle school and high school a lot. I just had all this energy that ended up going into bad avenues. I just started partying a lot. You know, I used to smoke cigarettes when I was younger, which a lot surprises a lot of people. And that really, I think, was due to just being suffocated by a system that wasn't set out for people like me and for people like you. So I think it's very inspiring you sharing your story of, you know, what you've achieved at an age even before you'd be graduating high school is what's possible if you just take, you know, even the first half of your schooling years and then put that same energy into something that really fits you. So I think that's super inspiring. And it's interesting here to hear about the bullying and everything like that, because anyone who has any kind of following online receives a certain amount of bullying of really negative hate comments and stuff like that. And my roommates are Instagram influencers and they get negative comments all the time, and it really affects them mentally, even though they say that it doesn't. For you, are there any specific tactics that you can stay true to yourself and really not listen to all the hate that you get online, all the like negative comments and stuff like that? Do you just shut it out in your brain, or like, how do you stay true to yourself and not listen to the negativity?
So I really try not to listen to people that are being negative, and I'm grateful that I don't have as many people who are mean to me online or who are talking bad about me online. I luckily have a group of people like online that really support me in what I do, which I'm very grateful for. But whenever I do get that one comment or something mean or something like that, it's like, it definitely does hurt, because that kind of triggers like when I used to be bullied in school, which hurt me. So it definitely does hurt, but one thing that I have learned is just laughing it off and knowing that I am doing what I love and what makes me happy is what I should be doing. And if someone doesn't like that, they should stop watching me then, because I am happy with what I'm doing. One thing that I've always been interested in is happiness. I want to feel happy. I want to feel good. And if I'm doing something that makes me feel good and makes me happy, like creating artwork, then I'm going to continue doing that, because that makes me feel full. And like one little thing that my dad taught me for like to be funny, whenever someone does a mean comment or something, I'll be like, please, can you tell me more? And either two things will happen is they'll kind of like not respond, or they'll kind of like not talk. Like if they leave a really nasty comment, I'll be like, please, can you tell me more? I'm very interested in what you're saying. And they'll either just ghost it and not talk about it or not do anything. Or they'll be like, I don't like you. And I'm like, okay, great. Can you tell me more of the reasons why you don't like me? And then they'll have to start thinking. They're actually like, actually, maybe I like said a few things that wasn't very nice, and I'm sorry for that. Because they start actually watching me more and they learn what I do. So those are like the two. That's the one thing that I use, which I always find hilarious. But I'm very grateful to have many people that support me more. So.
Yeah, that's a really great tactic. And, you know, comments, whether they're negative or positive, are good for your social media algorithms anyways. They respond to all of the hate comments, and you keep them commenting over and over again. It's perfect. I'm really interested to hear what your typical daily structure looks like.
Yeah.
You know, most people your age, they have the structure of going to school from this time to this time, and that takes up most of their time. But, you know, someone who is doing their own business like yourself, part of being successful with your business is actually having some structure and not just going off surfing whenever you want to and stuff like that. So what does a typical day look like for
one
you?
One thing that's really funny is that I feel like this may be different from other people looking at my daily life, but for me, I feel like I don't have as much structure as most people. Like, my friends will call me and they'll be like, hey, let's go surfing now. And I'll just head off surfing. But really, this is just me thinking that that's funny. But anyways, my daily life kind of starts off with me waking up in the morning. Every single morning I make a smoothie bowl, so I'm able to get nutrition in my body and able to start my morning. And then I'll kind of write down the things that I need to get done, either interviews I have, tasks I have. Should I do a video today? Should I create artwork? And it's either improving, like my daily stuff is improving on what I do, either creating, like creation, in school. So I'm working on my business. I'm improving my skills, if that means art skills, if that means speaking skills, or I am working on my schoolwork. So those are kind of my things that I work on a daily basis, or at least strive to work on. And of course, I make sure that I take time that so I can have fun, because I'm 13 still and I'm still a kid, so I want to make sure I'm able to enjoy my life and what I do. So I make sure I get my work done in the day and I get everything I need to get done, and that fulfills me so much because it makes me happy, because creating and drawing makes me happy, and I'm also able to do it as a job. Not really, I don't look at it as a job, but I'm able to make money from what I do, so that really makes me happy. And then I'm able to go off surfing with my friends in the afternoon and just have fun. And so that really means a lot to me. So that's kind of how my daily day works out. So, yeah.
It doesn't sound too bad, really.
And we especially live in a beautiful place, so it's very fortunate. It's awesome. So.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up to the end of our time here, but what would you say to parents out there who, you know, they're looking for the best way to raise their kids in 2020 and going forward that is not going to get trapped up in all of the things that you mentioned in this interview? What kind of advice would you give to them to raise their kids to have the freedom and the creativity that you have had?
I definitely say that just know that your kid is a human being as well. Giving a way of like introducing, like, you get to choose what you are, you get to choose what you want to do, and even asking them, like, what do you want to be now, and so what do you want to be when you grow up, instilling that thought in your mind that you can do so many incredible things, and leading them to inspiration and just something where they're able to choose, like, if they want to draw all day, let them do that. They will figure it out. Because kids are a lot smarter than you think. They will figure out what they want and what makes them happy. And just letting them have that choice will instill, like, what they want to do. And, like, I also, a little shameless plug, I have my book where it's, like, how to be and raise an unstoppable kid now. And it's literally a book about how to raise a entrepreneurial kid doing incredible things and how to instill entrepreneurial values. Like, what is happiness? Like, all this stuff. And I can even show a few pages. I illustrated most of it. And it's like,
these are your drawings.
Yeah, these are most of my drawings, and we had them edited. I made this when I was really young, so these are like all my old drawings. And it's like, happiness comes from within. And I actually wrote in this a long time ago, but it's like, sharing is caring, like all these different things. And it starts from like the values of being a kid, and like the values of what does it mean to be an unstoppable kid, what does it mean to have a passion, like all this stuff. And then it starts going into business values in the back, like money management, legal requirements, stuff like that. And it's something that can inspire you to do what you love now, and then it can be how to create a business off of what you love even as a kid. So that's something that I created, which I think is incredible. And we also created a little program off of that as well, where it's like a video course walking you through.
Is it for the context of parents, or directed towards kids, or for both?
It's for both. So then the parents are able to learn and grow, and the kids are able to learn and grow. And it's something fun. And these are all of the lessons I've learned growing up in creating a business, in creating something where I'm able to do what I love. And even just creating positive reinforcement with your kids, having genuine conversations about what they like, taking interest and really being there for them, and like letting them choose what they want, letting them choose what they want to do, and showing that really genuine human interaction with them. So,
yeah. That's amazing. And my final question for you is the same question, but for the context of any kids, you know, any kids age, you know, 18 to 15 who they really resonate with you and they aspire to do the things that you've done, but their parents maybe are not on the same page. What advice would you give to those kids?
I would say just find a group of people that do support you, because you may not have a group of people that support you now. Find people that you're like, the three steps I told earlier was, if you want to start a business, make sure you believe in yourself. Make sure you're really able to like trust yourself in what you're doing, and knowing that what you're doing is right. Find a group of people that really inspire you. Reach out to big people online that make you happy, that inspire you in what you do, and like create that dream team. Find the people that will support you, because there's some people that won't. build up that confidence, share your voice, talk about it online, and share your message. And so that's kind of what I would say. And just know that you can do what you love now and that you don't have to wait. So, yeah.
Well, that is incredible. That is an excellent note to end the interview on. And I just want to say that it's really inspiring what you're doing. And the path that you're on, I think, is really going to help inspire a lot of people into how to raise children in the next generation with how the world is changing, right? Yeah. I agree with you on so many of the points that you mentioned, and you're one of the stronger, more well-spoken voices that is speaking about this. So thank you so much for sharing with the audience.
Thank you so much. And for the audience all out there, don't forget to be unstoppable. So, yeah.
Yeah, and where should they reach out to you? Should they follow you on social media? Like, where are the places they should reach out if they want to learn more?
So I have an Instagram, my name, Hanalei Swan, where you're able to find me. And then I have my online shop and my website, which is called HanaleiSwan.com, where you're able to find more information about me. And of course, my main Instagram is where I'm most active and where you're able to find me the most. And if you wanted to interact with me online and social media, either through my lives or through my post, you can reach out to me there. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Hanalei. And guys, all of those links will be in the show notes at dannycarlson.co/podcast. You can check all of that out there. And I highly recommend that you follow Hanalei and the amazing work that her and the Unstoppable family are doing. It's really incredible stuff. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you. Woo.
Thanks for joining us on the Danny Carlson Podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit dannycarlson.co.